You need more hockey news, and Locked On NHL is here to fill the gap. It's our daily podcast on everything that's happening in the league. Subscribe and listen each day for a quick look to the biggest stories and game recaps each day. Subscribe to Locked On NHL today wherever you get your podcast.
You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Sharks, your daily source of everything Team San Jose. As we get closer to the draft, we're going to bring you another draft profile. Another guy in the top 10 that may be there for San Jose, probably not, but crazier things have happened. Who knows? Somebody might really, really like Cole Sillinger and take him fourth overall. We don't know. This is a crazy year. So we're going to knock off another guy from the top 10 with another expert. I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back with me, as always, is JD. Eric is once again dead to us. We don't care where he is. So today, I actually don't know where he is.
He's on a plane. He's living his Timo Meyer jet set lifestyle on a budget right now. So, yes.
Timo just posted that he was eating, he posted this morning at a fancy table overlooking the water or something like that. The guy is just living the absolute dream right now.
Yep.
Timo, come on the show and talk about your barbecue endorsement. That's what I care about the most. So today we are going to talk about, I'm sure I'm saying this wrong, Simon Edvinson. I'm sure it's Simon Edvinson or something like that, but I don't have a Swedish accent, so apologize to everybody who speaks Swedish. So Simon Edvinson, JD, tell us a little bit about Mr. Edvinson.
All right, let me go through my 500 Google Sheet tabs that Eric made me open. So Simon Edvinson, he is a big boy, 6'5", 207-pound defenseman from Sweden. Last year, he kind of bounced around between Frölunda and then their kind of junior team. So on their junior team, in 14 games, he put up 6 points on, I think he was playing close to 20 minutes a night there. Frölunda, the SHL team, he played about 5 or 6 minutes a night and put up 1 point in 10 games. So I wouldn't worry about that too much, just because he's not playing that many minutes with the men. According to Byron Bader's crazy model that says who's going to be good before they're actually play a game, he has a 3% chance of becoming an NHL star and a 46% chance of becoming a NHLer. He's a big boy who's we're going to kind of get some more information about right now.
He also played in the Allsvenskan last year somehow. So he played for three teams.
Yeah, he bounced around a lot. So, yeah.
Congrats to him. And played for the Swedish U18 team. Congrats to him. Let's bring in our expert, though, who can tell us much more about what's going on in Sweden. It's Mikael Holm. He's the Swedish regional scout for McKean's Hockey. He is a million hours ahead of us. So thank you for joining us before bed, I guess, while we're getting up.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, it's 7 in the evening here in Sweden right now. So just watching the Euros.
That's I guess 7 isn't too bad. It's better than some people we've had on where it's the middle of the night. So does Sweden have a good draw? I can't remember.
Yeah, Spain, Poland, and Slovakia.
So not really, but maybe. Slovakia is kind of ass. Yeah,
Sweden should be second in that group.
Yeah, I guess they can knock off Poland, unless Robert Lewandowski just throws in 400 goals and
they always suck in the tournaments. They're only good in the qualifiers, and then in the tournaments they choke.
Yeah,
it's a little bit like the Leafs.
They have one. Yeah, they only have one person. Yeah. All right, we can talk soccer all day, or football, however you prefer. Let's talk hockey. Let's talk Simon Edvinson. So he is massive. And I think the first thing that people, when they get the scouting reports, they key in on is a lot of people saying, he's further along in his development than Victor Hedman was at the same time. Is he? Is he not? Is that just... What do we got going on here?
Simon Edvinson is nowhere near where Victor Hedman was in his draft year. Hedman was one of the best defensemen in the SHL or the Swedish Elite League, as it was called when he was playing there. Simon Edvinson isn't really close to that. Simon Edvinson is maybe taller than Hedman was at that age, but I doubt it. I think they're pretty much the same. I think Hedman was like 6'6 when he was drafted, and he stopped somewhere there. But yeah, he's a big boy, and I actually looked it up because I was quite interested in, because I was having some questions about Edmondson's game. So I looked him up, and when he was 15, he was 185 centimeters, so 6'1". And now he's 6'5", so he's grown 4 inches in 3 years. So he's had quite a growth spurt since he turned 15. So yeah, there's a lot of things for him to figure out, I think, body wise.
Does he have lots of stuff to figure out hockey wise too? Like how raw is he? Is he a complete project?
He's a project, I would say. I think a lot of he has some parts of his game that are very very good already. Like his defensive game, I think, is quite underrated and quite strong already. He's very aware of his he has good gap control. So he's a very tall guy with a long stick, so he can take care of the players very far away from when he's far away from them. So I think his defensive game is pretty strong. There is a lot of development that needs to be done with Edvinson, but I think if you're very confident in your development staff, then you should have no issue with taking him around where San Jose has their pick at least.
So what's kind of, you said his defensive game is good. What about his game do you think is what makes him special? I've read his skating is just superb, especially for a guy that big. What makes him so tantalizing for a potential top 5, top 10 pick?
Yeah, as you said, his skating is very good. It's very effortless. He doesn't look like he's skating very fast, but he's just very smooth, very technically sound. Like he goes forward very quickly, but his movement is slow because he's so big, so it doesn't look maybe like he's the fastest skater. I think what stands out with him is also his puck control. He can deke around. He's a little bit like Rasmus Dahlin sometimes when he tries to get around defense or like his opponents. Dahlin is, of course, on an entire different tier, but like his puck control and his puck skills and deking skills is very good for Edmondson as well. And that's why a lot of people confuse him with being a very offensive gifted defenseman, where I think his offensive game maybe not be that kind of high level as Rasmus Dahlin or.
Mm-hmm. So he's probably more of your good defenseman, good transition, but then needs work in the offensive zone type of guy, you think?
Yeah, he's good when he gets to carry the puck. But when he needs to play the puck out of his own zone, he can be very much hit or miss. He throws the puck away a lot. He has a tough time under hard pressure. He has a hard time to find just simple exit passes from his own zone. So I think that's the big thing you need to work with him on. It's just like, settle down, control the puck, play easy. Don't have to do many things that hard, because he can just, even without pressure, he can just like skate up and pass his own blue line and then just throw the puck to icing without any reason.
That seems less than ideal for the NHL, where it's faster, bigger, stronger guys.
Yeah, that's the big issue with Edmonton. I think he has somewhat similar issues to like an Owen Power as well, where they both have issues. He's just like controlling the puck when under pressure, and also like just getting the puck away from the defensive zone in a controlled manner. So yeah.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your instant karma cash will be added to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million in instant karma and over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance and requirements, no overdraft fees, no withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. Right now, visit creditcard.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditcard.com/winmoney to sign up today for a free and start winning instant karma. That's creditcard.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Card. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
How long do you think he's going to need to stay? He's going to stay in Sweden, obviously, and play in the SHL. So how long do you think he would need to stay in Sweden before a team would think about bringing him over?
I would say at least 1 year, and then 1 year in the AHL at least. So I think 2 years is the minimum before NHL, but I would probably think he'd need longer. I wouldn't mind putting him in the SHL for 2 years, and or even maybe like Allsvenskan for 1 year, and then the SHL for 1 year, just for him to like be in Allsvenskan. He could be like a big fish in a small pond, you know.
Jonathan Dahlin, Dahlin method.
Yeah, exactly. Just letting him have a big role and try to be more accustomed to playing on a top four role instead of playing a bottom pair role on Frölunda, who's a very good SHL team.
He's definitely going to have to spend a year in the AHL, right? He's going to need be a guy that needs that transition time.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
So that makes sense. You're going to have a guy who's probably going to, you're looking at minimum 3 years before he's probably contributing meaningful minutes to the NHL.
Yeah.
Okay. I've also read his shot is not that great. Is this something that you think he can work on, or is it just he's not going to be a very kind of shoot first or just not going to have a great shot going into the NHL?
I think just the technique of shot you can work on. But he has a tendency to maybe, it's the same thing with his passing that I talked about earlier, that he just throws the puck away. So you can just shoot in a blocking player and then you get a.
Oh, the Brent Burns method.
Yeah. Exactly. So like he needs to learn how to take smarter shots. I think the technique with shooting, I think is always something you can work on. Put him in a summer with like a shooting expert, and you can develop a decent shot on him. I don't think that's very important. I don't like point shots anyway from defensemen. So I think that part, I don't think it's as important. But yeah, he needs to work on shot for sure and his shot selection.
Can he do wrist shot, snapshot, slap shot, one timer? Does he have anything in his bag right now, or is it a complete everything across the board needs to get better?
I think everything across the board, but I think snapshot wrist shot is fine. Like it can cause some danger if he gets it through, but like it's not very hard. It's not very accurate right now. So that's the thing.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. So he was ranked number two by Central Scouting for European skaters, right behind Eklund, right in front of Ratu. My love.
You just had to want to say Ratu's name on the podcast.
Of course, every single time. Somebody's got to take him and be very happy. He was number two, T2 on Bob McKenzie's ranking. We know that Bob McKenzie's rankings are fairly accurate. So we're going to see where he is on the final ranking. It sounds like there's a lot of things he needs to work on. Is it purely because he's 6'5", 207 and 18 years old that he's going to be taken third, fourth, fifth or like what? It seems like there's a lot of, not necessarily
question marks,
but a lot of question marks that they need to build up. Whereas I know this draft isn't great, but it seems Power has a little less. It seems Eklund has very few. It seems McTavish has very less. So like how is Edvinson in this big old top group?
The thing is that's very tantalizing with him is, as you said, of course, how big he is, but also because he has a ceiling that like his upside is very, very big. Like he could become, a serious number one defenseman for 10 years if he figures everything out. But if he figures everything out, I'm not sure how many prospects do that when they come in from getting drafted until they play in the NHL or 28 years old. Like he there's a lot of work that needs to be done with him. And I think people are very intrigued with the upside of a 6'5" defenseman, because big players are big, are always great in many people's eyes. But yeah, I think that's just the upside and the amount of body he has is what people yearn for. But I think I have him as a 7-12 pick. So San Jose has the 7th pick, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah.
So I think that is the first spot I would start thinking about him. But I think some teams might above you might be want to take Edvinson before you.
Yeah, especially Anaheim, who is looking for a partner for Jamie Drysdale for sure. The Devils love gigantic defensemen. Columbus is trading away Seth Jones, so they need a defenseman.
How would you kind of rank, so you between Edvinson, Powers, Clark, and Hughes, how would you personally kind of stack those guys?
I would say Hughes is the number one for me out of those guys. He's almost a year younger than Owen Power. He is very raw, but his raw skill that he has is incredible. He has a very offensive game to him and very smart offensively, and that usually translates to when the players get older, that they can develop the defensive side as well. So I think Luke Hughes is my number one. Then would be tied between Clark and Power, and then Edvinson, I would guess. I would assume, yeah.
Is Edvinson closer to Clark, Power, Hughes, or the next D-man on your list? Who is, I don't know who it is.
No, he's closer to Power, because there's almost no defensive prospect that would, other than those four that I would take in the top 10.
Okay.
And then it's guys like, I don't know, Carson Kuhlman and stuff like that. And I don't really, I wouldn't take him in the top 15 or 20 even.
Yeah, no, that's asking for trouble.
Yeah.
That's really, there's Edmondson, who's a project, and then there's those guys which are like triple projects.
Yeah. I might forget someone now, but I don't think so. I think it's the huge Clark, Power, Edmondson tier, and then it's like a drop off until the next one.
So you have him at 7 is the first place you'd be looking at him. So I'm assuming you have Hughes, Power, Clark, Beniers, Eklund, and somebody else above him?
I have Eklund, Wallstedt, Lysell from Sweden above him. And then I have Hughes, Beniers, Clark, Power, I would say. Those are probably people I would pick ahead of him, but I could like be convinced to pick. That's what I mean with the range I have, then it's not necessarily that he's 7th on my board. He's just like in that range. I would start to think about him. He's probably not 7th on my board if I count the players correctly. But I'm mostly focused on the Swedish players, so he's 4th on my board among Swedish players.
Right behind the three guys that I think we want San Jose to take more so: Lysell,
yeah.
Eklund first, Wallstedt, Lysell, and
yeah.
I think you would do well. You'd probably jumpstart your reset rebuild a little bit faster, better with those guys than Edvinson. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, definitely. And if you want to like try to squeeze something out of those expensive defensemen that you already have under contract, then those other three are probably better to have. Because Edvinson would probably come in after they're all retired or gone from the team. So.
Yeah, Edvinson seems like a piece for a team that's looking further down the line. They don't have a Carlson, they don't have a Burns, they don't have a Vlasic, they don't have a Couture, like a New Jersey where Jack Hughes is 2020 or whatever he is, and you can spend 3 years waiting for Edvinson. Is Edvinson a cerebral player, or is he just a physical specimen?
No, you need to specify what you mean with cerebral.
Like, does he think the game really well? Is he like Brant Clark's hockey IQ is through the roof?
Oh, yeah.
That's his thing, right?
I would say Edvinson thinks the game pretty well, at least defensively. He sees breakout passes, and he sees like good things when he try with the puck, but he usually fails, and that's where it comes in. This that I did the did research on his height, that he'd grown 10 centimeters since he was 15 or 4 inches. And that's the part where I think he might have had a tough time to being accustomed to his body. And that when he grows into his body a little bit more, we get him more used to it. Because now I'm assuming he stopped growing. Maybe he grows another inch, but like I would assume he's done with his growing phase. So now he can start to get accustomed to his body and technique. Maybe he needs to get a longer stick, shorter stick, like all of those things that can just improve his technique. I think will help him a lot because he still sees the game pretty well. I just think there's some issues with the decision making and stuff like that, but that is still a huge problem. But if he can, I think the growing into his body, he's going to be better prepared for the NHL for sure.
So ever since I moved to Vancouver, everybody tells me that I have to keep coming on hikes. So I'm a hike guy now. But when you're lost in the woods and you're trekking up the one side of a mountain and you got to come back down and there's boulders in the way, there's tree branches hitting you in the face, and eventually there's a view or a lake you get to see, you get kind of hungry doing all that. And I don't know what berries are good. I don't know what mushrooms aren't poisonous. I'm not hunting and gathering animals out there. So you know what I turn to? A Built Bar. And you know why? Because they've improved the Built Bar, so it's even deliciouser. There's 6 new flavors like Cherry Barcia, Carrot Cake, Apple Almond Crisp, plus the 12 original flavors like Peanut Butter, Double Chocolate, or Mint Brownie if you're that guy that likes mint. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. And they're good for everybody who's health conscious, like me, the new hike guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a nice little treat. And bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for keto diet if you're the keto guy. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. You can get all the news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline, check out all the great sporting news, and sign up for bonuses and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in the game as teams prep for their runs in the playoffs. So head over to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's LOCKEDON to get 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
What? Okay, so his absolute peak ceiling, you said, is number one defenseman, but everything has to hit correctly, right?
Yeah.
That's probably not going to happen. Because it never happens. I mean, like, there's what, like a 5% yeah. chance that happens. So the bigger range, so where does he fall back? What's a more realistic goal, a more realistic expectation upon drafting Edmondson?
I think someone like Jonas Brodin, who plays for the Wild, that could be a little bit more realistic expectation. Now Jonas Brodin is like one of the best defensemen in the league. And maybe Edmondson doesn't reach that, but I think like a second, third, fourth guy. I think fourth is like, or like bottom pair is his floor, of course. But I think like somewhere realistically, it's like the third defenseman, maybe second defenseman on the team.
Yeah, so he's gonna be an NHLer.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he will.
Yeah, and then from there he would be. He's going to be in your middle of the pack, and he's going to play on the penalty kill most likely, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He could be like a 22-minute guy or something like that. I don't know. Like third guy, I would say, on defensive is like what I would probably aim for him to be. And if he grows past that, then you're very happy.
That's not the worst in the top 10. I mean, you could be doing – I mean – problem is this draft has inflated the value of what these guys are. Cause if they're in a different, like if he was in last year's draft, where would you pick him?
Like Jake Sanderson is a more complete player, but probably like Jake Sanderson was ranked like 15, but he was picked 5, like something like that, like a 15 kind of guy somewhere around there.
Okay. Makes sense. Yeah, it seems like, he's not going to be like a game-breaking player. You know, it's not like one of these guys where it's like you look back and be like, wow, how did he kind of fall to like 7 or 12 or what or something like that. So
who, kind of a more bigger question, who in this draft do you think is like a game breaking, like chat, like, you know, kind of talent in the draft?
Well, my number one for Sweden and for just in general in the draft is William Ekström. I absolutely love him, and I think he's the guy for everyone in the top 10 to go for, because he might fall down to the 10th pick, which is
number 7
when you think about it. Yeah,
no, he's going at 7.
I'm pretty sure he will. Like, if he's there, I'm pretty sure the Sharks will take him, and I think that would be a great fit. Then you tank next year and you get a Shane Wright, and then you have Shane Wright and William Eklund as the top two guys.
Oh my, oh my God. For. Oh my
that
God.
That would be the way that I would go. But you need a center guy, like a number one center. So, Eklund is absolutely fantastic. I think he's a first line winger, complementary player that's going to score. Like, he could have peak seasons where he scored 90 points. So I think he's like, I think he would be awesome for anyone to have.
Don't screw this up, Detroit. Like third.
He could Detroit be picked like anyone. Third, or he could be picked like 10th or 12th. Like, I don't know how the NHL teams think anymore. It's especially not with this draft, which is just bonkers.
Yeah.
Would you consider Wallstedt at 7?
100%.
Okay, that was an easy question.
Yep.
Would you consider him over William Eklund, or do you take William Eklund then if he's off the board, then consider Wallstedt?
Yeah, I try to go for best player available, and that's Eklund. But like, if you really think you need a goalie, center safe probably
we
does.
Do.
Breaking news.
He's probably better than any goalie you have on your NHL team right now.
Hey, put some respect on Alexei Melnichuk's name. He is young and Russian.
I looked at the stats and I think like Wallstedt would be better than Martin Jones right now. I'm pretty sure of it.
Hell yeah.
The NHL, so.
Hell yeah. Well, Martin Jones, I don't think will be on the team much longer. So no, that's an easy role to fill. So you would seriously consider Wallstedt. How high would you, not to get off Edmonton topic, but how high would you take Wallstedt?
So this might sound like Swedish bias, but I have Wallstedt, Ekman, and Lissell in the top 5.
Oh.
I have Wallstedt and Lissell. I have Ekman as number 1, Benir as number 2, Wallstedt 3, Hughes 4, Lissell 5. So
would you? So if San Jose is sitting there at 7 and Power, Beniers, Hughes, Edvinson, Clark are off the board, or Eklund, let's say Eklund's off the board, would you take Lissell?
Yeah, I would 100% consider Lissell.
Would you take him over one of the defensemen? Like, would you take him over Clark?
Yeah, I would.
Interesting.
I think there's no, like, Lissell has the thing that almost no one else in this draft has, and that's the elite speed of an NHL player. Like, he's insanely quick. Like, the speed he plays at and thinks at is much higher than anyone else, I would say, among the forwards prospects. Like, you can talk about Beniers thinking very quickly. Of course, he might be a little bit faster in his mind, but I think, or Ekman as well, but I think Lissell's speed is just very intriguing for the NHL level.
So San Jose should be taking a Swede, is what you're saying at the end of this.
Yeah, everyone should be taking a Swede. There's 8 of them, or 7 of them in the first round for me. So.
Wait, there's 7. Wallstedt, Eklund, Lissell, Edvinson, Rosen, Olsson,
Robertson, Olsson.
Yeah. Robertson's the one I keep forgetting about because it sounds too close to Edmondson. So I always forget about him. Okay.
Yeah.
Before we get you out of here, we have 2 questions that we ask everybody and we write them down. We take your blood and we put them on rock so that we can track you down. It's 2026. We're going to find you because we're still doing this podcast. And we're going to ask you, Mikhail, who is the best player from this draft when we look back?
William Ekman.
Detroit, do not screw this up. Get out of here take Wallstedt, take anybody else. Let us have William Eklund.
I don't ask for much.
Can we talk about our Lord and Savior Atu Ratu for 2 minutes? Just quickly before we get to our last question. Do you think if somebody takes Ratu in the top 10, they're making a huge mistake, or is it just smart GMing?
No, I think it's fine taking him in the top 10. I like him, and I like the game he's playing. I think there's serious talent there. He's had a bit of a tough time. Scott Wheeler. Guy. Scott Wheeler, thank you. He had an interview or a piece on Aturatu, and he had a tough time mentally. It seemed like he had a tough time with hockey and not liking the sport and stuff like that for a while, but he got back to it, and you can see that when he played this winter that he had he started playing much better after the World Junior when he wasn't selected for the World Junior team, the Finnish World Junior team. I think he had a bunch of not very great teammates on the Carpet youth team. I think he had a tough time playing with them because he was just creating, and no one was putting the puck in the net. So I think there's a very solid center there. And if you want to take him at 7, then be my guest. I wouldn't lambast you for it.
San Jose needs centers, everybody. if they take Ratu, I will be passed out and people will have to come find me days later. Other question. And this one, again, is written in stone and your blood. What number does Edvinson go at? It's easier because you know the order now of teams.
See, Buffalo, no. I guess they're going to take Power. Seattle's going to take Veneers. I don't think Anaheim's taking Edvinson over Clark. I don't.
But they love Swedes.
Luke Hughes is the, like, he's written in blood on for the New Jersey Devils, I think. It seems like. I think Columbus could take him. I think Detroit could take him. I said Columbus before, so I'm going to say them now, but I think also Columbus could reach for a center like Mason McTavish, maybe. I think Columbus is a good bet for Edmonton.
So 5?
Yeah, five, right? 5.
Yeah, 5. Okay. It seems like Edvinson might be my least favorite of the top guys. So if he goes at 5, that is beneficial to my life. Not that he's bad. I just think I want some other people better. So, Mikhail, you have all the time in the world right now. Talk about your work. Talk about Sweden. Talk about the Euros. We don't care. You have unlimited time. Go nuts.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter where you mostly see my things. Where that's called Mikael Holm. I did a Q&A last week. Which I might be doing again up until the draft because it was quite fun. And if people have questions about Swedish prospects, then go ahead and send them to me. I write for McKean's Hockey. You can find them at McKeensHockey.com. It's a subscription service, but you get a lot of content every day. You get scouting reports. You get talks about the NHL. You get everything that you need to follow hockey. And we're having a draft guide coming out in a couple of weeks as well. So we should check out for that. Otherwise, there's nothing much else. I'm just happy to do a podcast again. It was fun to chat with you guys.
Yeah, for sure. So check him out at, well, for English people, Carl Mikhail Holm, CarlMikaelHolm. You just got to throw a little Swedish on it when you're trying to spell it out and you'll find it. If you'd like to find us, you can do that at Locked On Sharks, of course. Please let us know any show ideas you want. We've been knocking off some requests recently, like who's the best Sharks coach in Sharks history. If you have a prospect you want us to cover that we haven't covered yet, we're getting close to about 20 now. Please let us know. If you want to see more coverage about anything, just please DM us at Locked On Sharks. You can email us with your stupider ideas at lockedonsharks@gmail.com, where we won't see it and we'll delete it. You can go to Instagram and Facebook, Locked On Sharks there. JD's putting up all of our work. That's where your preferred social media intake is. Please DM us there. We will get it as well. The contest is still running. Please leave us a review and just send us that you left us a review so that we know who you are.
And then when JD's done, I think it's at the end of this month, he'll do the draw. Again, McKean's Hockey. Everybody knows where that is. We've had many McKean's people on. And again, Mikhail is at Carl Mikhail Home. Please go follow him. He knows what he's doing, especially if you like Swedes. Get Eric Carlson a friend. Mikhail, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.